This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:47 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Phil and Chun Li on Tuesday, the 24th of May. Now, we're turning our attention to comments made by the International Trade and Industry Minister recently, Dato' Sri Mohamed Azmin Ali. He said that the government is mulling to implement targeted fuel subsidies for the lower income group as rising global crude oil prices push the subsidy bill higher. He said that the government is seeking a suitable restructuring mechanism for this purpose.
And adding that, this was necessary following a projection for the fuel subsidy bill to hit 28 billion ringgit this year, or 11 billion last year. And the government previously said it will maintain the ceiling price of RON 95 at 2 ringgit and 5 cents per litre and diesel at 2 ringgit and 15 cents per litre.
Even though the market price for both fuel types had increased drastically, the premium RON 97 fuel, which is not subsidised, is currently retailing at 4 ringgit 33 cent. Ooh, painful.
It is painful. And just a week ago, I think me and Chuang were talking about how it's 4 ringgit. Now it's 33 cents higher than that. So how should the fuel subsidy be approached? You know, would a targeted approach work for Malaysia? Or should the government consider just scrapping it fully? You know, these are some of the questions that we're going to pose to Dr. Jeffrey Williams. He's an economist with the Malaysia University of Science and Technology. Jeffrey, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us as always. So let's get your reactions to this news. The government is mulling a targeted fuel subsidy mechanism for lower income groups. What do you make of it? Is this the right time to be considering this?
It's actually a pretty terrible idea, frankly. many people feel it's quite attractive because, of course, they're saying, look, we have these very, very expensive subsidies, 28 billion is a lot of money, and they're going to wealthy people and they don't like wealthy people. So they want to take the money away from them. But the point about it is that the subsidies are really doing their job. Malaysia has inflation at 2.2%. Where I come from in the United Kingdom, we have inflation at 9%. So to remove the subsidies and then to try to target them is wrong for three reasons. The first is we don't know how to do it, frankly. And if you do it by income groups, you're going to be giving subsidies to people in the low-income category who don't perhaps need it, and you're going to be removing subsidies from people in the middle-income categories who definitely do need it for their work, for their small businesses, whatever it is. The second is we don't actually have a mechanism to do it. If you wanted to issue a general subsidy, it's easy. You just cut the price for everybody. But if you want a targeted subsidy, you need to give them some sort of voucher or some sort of digital discount card. And we don't have that mechanism in place at the moment. And the third reason why it's a terrible idea is that at the moment, the problem with rising prices is focused on two, perhaps three components of the consumer price index. They are petrol and food. If you remove the subsidy, particularly on petrol, and you increase the price of then you're, instead of just having a higher price problem in two categories, you're going to have a higher price problem across all categories of the CPI. And that's going to cause inflation perhaps at the rate of 8 or 9% that we're seeing in America and the UK. And the solution to that is higher interest rates. And the interest rates will not rise by 25 basis points or 0.25%. They will be rising from 2 to 5%. There will be no limit on the level of interest rates that would be required if Malaysian inflation goes to 9%.
So I'm scratching my head why the government wants to do this. Is this a populist move to say that the wealthier have to pay more? Or is this more a pragmatic view that the public finances here are just weak?
It's populist. I mean, there's no question about it. It's because people are pointing out that those in higher income groups are benefiting more from the subsidy. And there's also, of course, the question of the 28 billion, which is a very large amount of money. But here's the deal. The benefit from the subsidy has got nothing to do with your income. It's to do with how much petrol you buy. If you're in the low income group and you're running a small business, you buy a lot of petrol, you benefit a great deal. If you're in the high income group, you don't use cars, you use public transport, buses and trains. You don't buy a great deal of petrol, you don't benefit from the subsidies. It's got nothing to do with your income, it's to do with your purchases of petrol. And the second thing about the 28 billion is, yes, it is a large amount of money, But if the government didn't use it for subsidies, then you and I will be paying for that. We do not save money by removing the subsidy. You simply transfer it from the government spending the $28 billion to you and me spending the $28 billion. And people in middle-income groups in particular having to see petrol rise from 2 ringgit, 5 cent for 4 ringgit, that's really going to hurt them.
And there are those who say that removing fuel subsidies amidst the current environment of rising prices of goods and cost of living may backfire and cause higher inflation. But realistically, how long can we afford to continue subsidizing fuel?
We don't like to have subsidies over the long term, that's for sure. And we should definitely try to find a solution to the subsidy process. But at the moment, we are still suffering from the consequences of the lockdown. We have additional problems with oil. We have problems with food supply shortages. We know what these problems are. So we're in a crisis period. So it is still necessary for us to continue with the subsidies and the price controls. Now, Malaysia is in a better position than, for example, in Thailand, because if the oil price rises, Malaysia has income as well from the oil price rise. The government has revenue. So actually, so long as the government can afford it, we can continue it. But what we really need to do is look for long-term structural reforms in order to remove the need for subsidies. Now, we're seeing that, for example, in food. We don't necessarily have subsidized food, but we're seeing this appetite for reform in the removal of the APs. We're seeing investigations on cartelization in the food industry, and the government is trying to increase domestic supplies of food by banning exports. These are short-term policies. They will help to bring the prices down. But in the long term, we need proper structural reforms.
Jeffrey, could I get your thoughts on this proposal to do away with subsidies in favor of giving cash aid directly to the people? Do you think that this is a solution to the current predicament?
Well, you'll remember during the lockdown period, during the COVID period, we were always very much in favour of direct cash transfers. The reason that direct cash transfers are better is that you put money in people's pockets, they spend it as they choose on the things that they need for themselves and their families. At the moment, there is some justification for direct transfers, but I think what we really need at the moment is to take a very hard look at increasing the supply capacity in order to bring down the price of food in particular. Price of oil is sort of out of our hands. There's very little that we can do. But in the long term, we definitely need to look at dealing with the cost of living crisis, not by keeping prices down artificially, but by helping people to raise their income and their spending power. And that means dealing with issues such as direct cash transfers. But this can be done, as I've mentioned before, through the establishment of a universal basic income and the introduction of a negative income tax or a tax credit system. So we hope that the government will take a look at that.
I wonder with the current situation we're in, there's this longer-term discussion about, the transition to cleaner energy and net zero in 2050 and such. That's going to be delayed substantially, right, due to all these current challenges in the short term, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But also, the oil subsidy or price subsidy stops that, doesn't it? Because it makes petrol artificially cheap.
Yep.
And it keeps people using their cars and their bikes instead of using public transport. So that's one of the distortionary effects of subsidies and price controls. And that's one of the reasons why in the long term, we certainly want to move away from subsidizing petrol. But certainly, it's not a priority at the moment, these net zero and environmental challenges. For the government, you're right. I think for justifiable reasons, we have other things to focus on. But in the long term, I think we are seeing the consequences of too much government intervention in prices for fuel. And in terms of food, we're seeing too much government intervention in the food market. And then when we face a crisis like this, it really hits very hard. So that's why we need to look at a more liberal market-based agenda, removing the permits, removing the licenses, and having as little regulation as possible except for health and safety.
And then just taking that question about, government intervention over market prices, we are having this huge debacle over chicken prices now. Do you think the root cause of that is the result of this capping of chicken prices, resulting in this subsidy scheme that really created all these distortions in supply chain? Is that your assessment of what happened here?
The root cause is a supply chain restriction, And the root cause of the supply chain restriction is the lockdown, both nationally and internationally. That's the root cause of it. What that meant was that production was very severely restricted because people couldn't get access to workers. They couldn't transport the food when they wanted to. And so they cut back. Now we're seeing, as the economy picks up and we're seeing an increase in demand, people are not able, companies are not able to meet those that extra demand. And in terms not just of chicken, but in other types of food, wheat and grains, for example, we have the conflict in Ukraine. But what we're seeing here again in the food market is a consequence of decades of government manipulation and intervention, not just really here in Malaysia, so we do see that, but internationally, globally. The European Union, for example, in the Common Agricultural Policy, has had a specific approach for decades, since the 1960s, to keep prices of agricultural products artificially high and to restrict the quantities of agricultural products into the global market. So it's too much government intervention locally, regionally, and internationally. And now when we face a crisis, it really hurts.
Jeffrey, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Jeffrey Williams, economist at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology, weighing in on the proposed targeted fuel subsidy mechanism, as well as the lifting of APs for food imports.
I mean, he's saying it's a really bad idea, isn't it? On so many levels, it just doesn't seem practical to implement at all.
And this is the targeted fuel subsidy that Jeff was talking about. I was actually quite surprised that he said that, because I think for the longest time, we've been talking about how fuel subsidies are unsustainable for our fiscal coffers. For him to say that, you know, we shouldn't really be thinking about it at the moment, I feel like it's a bit different from the norm.
The situation has changed because of cost of living, because of rising costs. I think that is the pressure, that point that everyone's facing. And the reality is, he's saying of all the things that are being contemplated, it seems like subsidies is the least worst solution out there.
And not just that, because it's also costing the government a lot to be doing these subsidies. But at the same time, I also wonder, how are you going to implement a targeted subsidy? Is it through MyCard? You know, I think in 2014, the government was also talking about implementing this targeted subsidy through MyCard, but it kind of went silent after that.
I agree. I mean, you talk about cash transfers in the past. They tried to do conditional cash transfers, all had mixed results.
Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.